to this message because I think it really is an important topic. Repeat the topic with me, please. Say transparency. The key,
the key
to changing
everything.
Everything. The key to changing everything. As they adjust a little echo I got going on, I got a little echo chamber going on back and forth between this and the house sound. There's a word that I've been studying for the last several weeks, and I've taught it in several settings to leaders. I'll share some of that with you next week. I have a series laid out for the month already, and I'm just praying about which way I'm going to take the series. I know where I want to go, I think, but, well, I do know where I want to go, but I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to make sure that I really help you. So I'm picking each week, okay, this piece and then that piece. The piece I'm sharing today is what I believe to be the introduction to a new way of thinking. There's a verse in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 14 that describes the whole armor of God. And if you go down to verse 14, it says, in describing the first thing in the armor that you need to put on, he describes something called truth. Let me read starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Now, this is Paul's statement, take up the whole armor of God. I like that, that you may be able. The reason why you put on everything I'm describing to you, you're in a big fight, verse 10 and 11. You are in a big fight, mental, emotional fight. That's why you need to put on the whole armor of God. And then he describes what this is, so you can win the fight. And he describes that you're fighting against an enemy that's pretty crafty, pretty smart. It's broad-based. It's not in the natural, it's in the spiritual. You're in a tremendous combat situation, so pay close attention. Now, Paul's in a jail looking at a Roman soldier standing there, and he's drawing this image as he writes. And he's trying to paint a picture that's really simple. I love this. Simple and easy. He wants everybody that he writes in Ephesus to get it. Take the whole armor of God, not part of it. Why? That you may be able. It's all about this now, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Everything that I'm telling you is so you can hang in there when it's tough. And then he goes on to say this. I love this. And having done all to stand, stand, therefore. Having girded your waist with truth, the first thing he describes is being girded, having on the belt of truth. He looks at the Roman soldier and starts with transparency as the first point of conversation. In order to win this fight against this very skilled enemy, against spiritual wickednesses in high places, it all starts with being transparent. It all starts with being truthful. Truth is the key. I want you to think with me for a second and imagine when you talk about transparency and truth, normally you think of you telling the truth. That's a one-way thought. You communicate the truth. And I've taught this teaching to leaders, and when I get to what I've taught leaders in the next 2 weeks, you'll see, I've focused on that angle. Here was my argument. If you're going to be effective in your life, you have to be truthful. You have to tell the absolute truth about yourself. You cannot deceive yourself. It is so easy to deceive yourself. Matter of fact, we're good at it. The heart is desperately wicked. We can talk ourselves into stuff and out of stuff with great skill. Go back and think about how you convinced yourself you should marry that person, or you should date that person, or you should spend that money, or you should make that trip, or say those words, or quit that job. You convinced yourself that you should attack that person. And now you look back at it and say, come on. You should drop out of school. You convinced yourself with great skill and talent. And it was the wrong decision. So I, for a good while in teaching this, have focused on me telling the truth, me being transparent. But this great question came to me the other day. What about me telling you the truth? What if God were to say, let's make this a two-lane highway? Two ways. You tell me, I tell you. And so there's a big question. What would a transparent conversation between you and God sound like? What would that be like if God were to absolutely sit you down and say, can we talk? Can we have an honest conversation? Brother Lovitz, would you bring me my chair, please, sir? There's something about being just in the presence of God. Most people, when they talk about, thank you, sir, right there. When they talk about the presence of God, they think about worship. I want to just bathe in his presence. I think that's really good. I think you should. But just think with me for a moment about a conversation where God set you down and he said, can we talk? Can I just have a moment with you and just kind of tell you what I think? So I picked three people in the Bible that I thought there were these incredible conversations. I want you to imagine a conversation between Adam and God before Eve. Imagine God sits Adam down and says, how you feeling? Well, I'm kind of lonely, you know. It's just me in the trees and stuff. How you like your job? I like tilling the garden, you know, keeping up with everything. It's nice. You know what I mean? Naming animals. I named about five today. You know, I mean, just, you know. So tell me what you want. I don't really know what I want. You think you might want a partner? He said, yeah, I noticed the monkeys, these monkeys and monkettes and elephants, and you know what I mean? It's just me. They're all walking together through the jungle and everything. I'm just by myself, you know. So you can imagine this conversation, and they're kind of talking in the cool of the day. And so there's this thing going on, and then, bam, the Lord says, tell you what, I'm going to knock you out and wake you up and surprise you. What you going to do? I'm going to knock you out, wake you up, bam, I'm going to give you a woman. When you see her, you're going to say, whoa. You can't knock me out. Everybody say two-way.
Conversation.
Imagine that. Here's another one. Imagine another conversation between God and Noah. Imagine God sits him down and says, Noah, we need to talk. Now, I want to talk to you about something that will probably be a surprise to you. But we're going to have to kill everybody and start over. say what? I'm going to kill everybody. Drown them. Is this going to be you and your family? That's it. We'll start over again. It didn't work out. Now, just you be Noah for a minute and think about that. You mean my cousins? Yep. Kill all of them. Uncles, everybody, Noah, listen to me. I'm killing everybody. We're starting over again. Tough conversation. What, can't they be saved? Nope. They don't want to be saved. They don't want to change. So, That's all I can tell you, Noah. You better build a boat. Fast. Third conversation. Imagine a conversation between Abraham and God about having a child at 75. You ready? How old did I say?
75.
Now, some of you, let me hear what I didn't understand. This is true. I didn't understand people that were 40s, 50s. One person, he's a poster child, this individual I'm thinking about, for what I didn't understand as a man. He had these views that were amazing. He had raised his children, and he would say things like, I don't want any more children. I don't want any children. Pastor, I love people, but I don't want any more. I'm done now with that. And then he wanted all the children to move out. He wanted all the children. he wanted them all to go on their own now. And I didn't understand it. And I'm not quite like him in those regards, but I do understand that when you get to a certain age, you start thinking a certain way. And this is what young people don't get. You think the way you think now because you're this age. But I promise you, you know, when you get a certain age, you start changing. You know, remember you don't like girls? Mm-hmm. It totally changed. Remember that? It's just totally changed. Now you, some of you say you like them too much. You didn't like boys either. You didn't like, you remember, some of you, you know, you used to love going to work. Your first day on the job, you was happy, I'm going to work. Tell everybody I've got a job, and now you can't wait to retire. 5 years, 3 hours, and 2 days. I mean, you're ready to get out of there, man. You're counting down. What happened to you? You changed. Come on, say, I changed. So you're going through these changes. You're going through these series of changes in your life. So God comes to a 75-year-old man and says, I have a vision for your life. We're going to start a family. And, you know, so you go, okay, now if I'm going to accept this, and, you know, God and I are having this transparent conversation, because he's going to see, here's the problem. If Abraham's being transparent with God, he's saying, you know, okay, I don't see that. I mean, nothing personal. His wife really didn't see it. But Abraham said, okay, by faith, I accept it. I accept it. But then, you know, okay, you think it's going to happen this year at least, right? I mean, we're not talking about 25 years from today. I'm 75, and really God's saying, I'm going to give you a child, but 25 years from now. So some of you single people, you ready? Some of you say, don't even try that, Pastor Rick. Don't even try that with me. God said, I'm going to give you a husband, but 25 years from now. 25 years? 25 years, going to take that long to get you ready. It's a lot of work we got to do, a lot of work. 25 years. It was 25 years before he had a child. So you can imagine this conversation. What's it like? What would God say to you if there was a two-way conversation and we were all being transparent? The biggest challenge is to get you to be transparent with God. That is hard. To get you to be transparent with anybody. To get you to be open and to take a risk and to step out. This is a profound moment, but listen to me. Transparency is the key to changing everything. If you can have a transparent communication with God and be really honest, it can change everything in your life. And if you allow him to really talk to you about you and about his vision for your life, it can be amazing. As a matter of fact, let me throw a third lane in here. If you allow the people around you to talk to you, if you just allow your boss to tell you the truth without getting upset and threatening to sue, I think ethnically you learn a lot when you interact with people who are not from your ethnic group. They help you. Black people help white people help Asian people help, you know, Iranians. Everybody is helped. One of the richest gifts in my life right now, today, is I have this broad, I mean, really broad range of relationships. I just got an email I got to respond to from, they want me to come to Pakistan to preach to 1,000 leaders. Okay. You told me, I want you to come and it's safe. I said, that's not how you start the conversation. It's really safe. Now I'm telling you, you can come.
He followed me around the place. He was the great guy. You know, I was at this conference and he said, Temple, I want you to come. He said on the elevator in front of everybody, I want you to come. This is my chance. I want you to come preach. In Pakistan, they got 1,000 leaders. They want to hear you. You bring a great word and it's safe. The government now allows it. You can come. Don't even stop the safe stuff. In my mind, Al Qaeda, I'm all this stuff. You know, I'm bringing. This is the same Pakistan I saw on TV? That place? Okay. I'll go. In Jesus' name, we're going to work it out. But my point is, there's something about what I learn. Sometimes I can be transparent from me to others, but if I let them tell me how I look, sound, think to them, it's amazing. I went to Indonesia. This is, I got to tell the story. It's really cute. I went to Indonesia, and I've never eaten in the pot with people. I always cook when I cook by myself. One pot, you know what I mean? If I'm cooking for me, we cook it in a pot, and we put it on a plate, and then we get a spoon and take from it. So I'm sitting at this place, and I order from the menu, you know, steak. I'm feeling like I want a steak today, and I want some vegetables. And so they bring it out raw and put it in front of me. I'm thinking, okay, this is different. And then there's boiling water. It's like a circular pot, and it's got water in it. And so you cook your own food to me. And they're all excited. And so I put my food, my vegetables and my steak in this boiling water that's going to cook the food because it gets really hot. And then it starts sliding around. All our food is sliding around. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's mixing together, his, mine, everybody's, and we kind of pick it out. And I'm thinking, no, don't touch mine. Mine. Jesus. And they're just talking and they're in and out of English and they're talking, you know, and they're back and forth and I'm sitting there. And I'm having a problem. And then they said, I said, well, how do you know when it's ready? You'll know. I'll know. Yeah, it starts turning brown or something. So I think I kind of just follow the crowd. When they take it out, I take mine out. And then I get upset. Hey, he got some of mine. That's mine. And then I just say, okay, you can have it. And then, you know, and then you don't want people to double dip. You understand what I'm trying to say? You go in there one time, brother, or use that again. How do I look to them? How do I look to them? Let's be transparent. I know how they look to me. I know how odd this is for me. But do I look like a narrow-minded person who can't try something new? Do I look like an arrogant person who can't, you know, and I can't even use chopsticks, you know? You know, I learned because everybody was using chopsticks. I'm the only guy, can you get a fork? So I was determined to learn. I did, you know, but there's this, you know, and little kids were trying to teach me. You know, I'm okay, I'm dumb, but I'll get this. You know, come on. Because I'm the only person not using chopsticks. How do I look to them transparently? He can't use chopsticks. The poor kid said, you don't know how to use that? No, I don't know how to use it, okay? I'm an American. What do you want me to do? Give me a fork. So they had to go way in the back in the kitchen to get the fork for the American, you know? But at some point, you just sit there and you say to yourself, can God put me with people that can help me see how I look? Maybe if God can create a transparent world for me, I might grow. It's the key to changing everything. It really is. There are three things that were hard to imagine when I made this study. Number one,
the three examples I gave you. The first thing that's hard to imagine is that God has somebody made for you that's designated for you. I love the fact that God took Adam and he made Eve. Made Eve for him. You got to be careful when you start picking people that weren't made for you. God crafted her. You need to really, as a single person, want that person for your life. Be careful when you feel good and you're not transparent. See, here's when I know you're picking the wrong person. When you do it by yourself. You won't let God knock you out and bring them to you. You got to get them yourself, and you're not a good picker. You're not a good picker sometimes because here's why. You're not transparent. You're not transparent, and most of all, God can't tell you much because you're in love. And surely your friends can't. Just think for a moment. What would it change in your life if you can go back and be transparent? What would you tell yourself? Come here, girl. Stop right now. Let me talk to you. But he's so good. Look at his hair. I'll hit you again if you say that. Don't you say hair. If you can be transparent, if you can go back and grab yourself, what would you say? What do you wish you'd heard God say to you? Second thing that's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine or to face that something must be ended, like Noah's situation, and started over to succeed. See, it's hard to imagine for Adam that there was an Eve potential. It's hard to imagine for Noah that God would come to him and say, we're going to kill everybody but your family. This has to be ended in order for something new to start. You have to leave this job, lose this opportunity, move to another city. You have to give up this house, sell everything, start over again. There is an ending. You must have a distinct ending for a new beginning to happen. That's hard to imagine. Difficult to believe. It's difficult to believe that somehow in your life that maybe you have got it wrong. Imagine. It's hard to imagine. And that's, my friend, why God can't be transparent with you, because sometimes you can't imagine it. That's what I love about the Bible. The more I study it, the more I engage God, the more I pray, the more he stretches my mind. I laid out my schedule for the year, places I was going to go speak, things I was going to do, and the Holy Spirit says, he just came in a few weeks ago and disrupted everything. Ways I thought I would make money, things I thought I would do, he says, let it all go, do it for free. Give it all away. Temple, let me talk to you. I don't need you to do that for me. You think I want you to do that? I want you to stay home and do it this way. What would he tell you? It's hard to believe. It was hard for Noah. Abraham I love the most. It's hard to believe that you can still be fruitful at your season of life. It's hard for some of you to believe that at 75 you can still be fruitful. It's hard for you to believe that at 80 you can still be fruitful. At 90 you can still be fruitful. It's hard for you to believe. Remember, Abraham was 75, 85, 95, still didn't have the baby. Some of you stop believing in being fruitful at 45, 25. You have cashed in and you have surrendered to the idea that you are too old and can't do it. And you really believe it. You've been sold a lie and you believe it. You even act old. You talk old and think old. Well, what if I am old? Be awesome and old. Look, you're the smartest you've ever been in your life. You've learned more. You got great history. 95 years old, God's still telling him, going to have a baby 5 years from now. Let me tell you something. That's a tough conversation. But here's the question. Can God tell you that? Can God tell you that? You read these stories and you're all amazed, but I want to hear about your life for a minute. What are you having a hard time believing?
What are you having a hard time processing? What are you having a hard time thinking is possible for you?
Can you maybe for a moment step back and consider that you have not been open to him? This study has helped me because here's one conclusion I came to. I was not as transparent as I thought I was. I was not as open to him, and I was definitely not as open in some cases to him talking back to me. So I listed for you, and you know when I list these things, it's the honest truth. My latest, you ready? Transparent lessons. Here you go, people. You want to be nosy, pay attention. God has a plan to create relationships that will help me. God has specific people he wants me to meet. And these people are helping me grow and change in my thinking. His goal is to change me, but he can't change me with the current set of friends. I have to have a broader range of people in my life. Second thing I've come to lately. God has a plan to end certain seasons and start new ones in my life. I don't know how good you are at ending stuff. You're crying over stuff you should let go. You're worried about stuff in your life that you just can't hold on to. And then thirdly, here's the big one. God has a plan to continue making me fruitful. At 56, it's amazing how I think. The temptations for me at 56 and 46 and 36 are totally different. Let's make it 36 and 56. At 36, the world was in front of me. At 26, I was ready to launch and take over the world. At 36, I was wondering whether I had done enough in the world. At 46, I was hopeful and excited, felt progressive. But at 56, there's something about crossing that 50 mark. You just start thinking about retirement. That's what you talk about. One day I'm not going to have to go anywhere. I'm going to be able to do what I want to do. Be my own man. Be free. I don't buck retirement. I think it's a great gift. But I want you to hear me. Don't retire and stop dreaming. Don't retire and don't start thinking that life's over. What I'm telling you, the single greatest thing said to me in the last 10 years of my life was said by one person. She said to me, "You are a baby. I am 90, 89, and you are just 55. You are a baby." And I thought to myself, what? And it was in that moment that I realized it's my problem, if I'm being transparent, is I was starting to buy into this, I don't know, going to the pasture or something. I mean, this whole, believe me, after you've preached sermons and you get to this place, well, I preached that before. Well, I preached on Noah before. Well, I've done that before. Before you know it, you've done everything. You don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to do anything. You let your body just go. You just letting your body go. You don't care that you can't run. I can run. I'm 56 and I can run. I like that. I want to run some more. I don't want to be that guy. I want to try. I'm not faulting you if you've got a physical challenge. I'm just simply saying, part of the challenge starts, believe it or not, in the mind. It starts with the way we think and see life. And because you won't let anybody transparently talk to you, nobody can speak to you, you shut everybody down. You close off all communication with meanness.
Don't bother me with all that. I ain't got time for all that.
See, stop all that. You're just a grumpy Christian. Saved, sanctified, and mean. You know that's the truth. Why don't you pause for a moment? Let somebody speak to your life. Let someone come into your life and give you something. Being married to Diane is a transparent experience. From the gate, dating her was a transparent experience. And she just, you know, she's smart. It just makes you mad. She's just smart. Just sees right into stuff. I was in the car one time, and I never forget this. This is the most this is one of the transparent moments. We're dating. What were we doing?
Dating.
And I didn't like to blow my nose in front of people. I just thought it was just ungodly to blow your nose in front of people. So I would just snort. And she heard me snort one time too many. She pulled that cough and said, man, if you don't blow your nose, I'm going to reach in there with a microscope and pull something out of there myself and analyze it for you. Would you blow your nose? Yes, ma'am. It was hilarious. I was at their house, and I had to use the restroom so bad. I'm telling you, you ever been there? Don't have to make you know what I'm talking about. I had to go so bad. And I waited about an hour and a half. I was hurting, man. I was dancing in the spirit. I was everything. And finally, around 11:30-ish or something like that, a sister, mama, everybody's around, you know, it's holidays. I said, you got a bathroom? I was hurting by saying, you got a bathroom, you know. And her sister, Lord help her, Sandra, I tell you, I don't think she ain't here today. Well, thank God he asked. We wondered, did you go? Been here all day. We didn't see you go. We wondered, did you go? Everybody say transparency. The key, come on, to changing everything. You're asking God to do something for you he cannot and will not do because you're not transparent. You're not open. There are some churches that will never be blessed beyond a certain level. The series on Blessable that I'm about to teach, don't want to miss those 3 days. I'm telling you, I'm going to talk about why people can't be blessed in their life, in their families, and in their careers. One each night. I believe that it's because they're not, one of the reasons is they're not transparent. There are ministries, they will never, ever be able to raise the money they need to do kingdom work on a worldwide basis. They will always be local. There are families. You will never, ever have college graduates because you are not committed to selflessly give and sacrificially invest in those that have the capacity to finish. You are too self-focused as a family. You will never achieve that. And you will always be poor. You will drive raggedy cars, live in raggedy houses, and you will never be effective. You'll live with rats and roaches and junk all your life because you refuse to band together. The men will stay drunk because no one will challenge them. You don't need to drink anything. You barely need to drink tea. You don't need anything to intoxicate you. You're sober today. That's why I'm talking to you. That's why God has you here. Because today you're with us. Glad to have you back. You're with us. But any other day, last night, night before last, you weren't with us. You should be transparently honest and say, I can't do this. I can't do that. For me, that's not good. If I want the blessings of God in my life, I have to be transparent and say, for me, this is bad. I've got to start over. I've got to kill all these habits. I've got to let all this go if I'm going to be fruitful. There is no way I will ever change anything. You have to become a different group of people. I watch people. That's why God wants you to meet new people, because he wants you to think, everybody's not like this. Everybody's not like this. There are people who are really happily married and really get along. Amen. There are men who don't cheat. There are women that don't cheat. There are people that don't lie. There are people that really, really live okay. You see how she proudly said earlier in one of her, the sister who got up and said, that, you know, she said, my parents have been debt-free for 20 years. Everybody's not bound with debt. Everybody's owed money like that. Everyone is not in bondage. Everybody doesn't go to the pawn shop. I know all your friends do, but everybody doesn't go to the pawn shop. Amen. Everybody that you know shouldn't be at, you know, pawning your title for your car every week. You guys are in there pawning your car title. Everybody doesn't go in there. Did you notice that? Now, I think it's sad when they know your name. Hey, good to see you again. Watch it. Why am I living this life? Why do I think this is the only life there is to live? Everybody's not stealing. Everybody's not robbing. Everybody's not on drugs. Everybody's not like that. You are. But not everybody. And so you pause in your life and you think, well, God, if I'm transparent, what can you do? He said, if you open the road and let me talk to you, I can change your life. Now, for me, there are three transparent answers that God gave me that answer one big question as I close. My latest transparent question, you know, I have these big questions that I love to ask myself. I was listening to a sermon the other day, and a guy asked, he made a statement, Samuel Chan was his name. He made a statement about the promised land that just really touched me because it made me ask myself a very honest question. What is God's definition of a promised land for me? What is God's definition? I have in my mind, if you ask me, what I think I want in life, but what is his answer? Let me tell you what it was not. Preaching. You ask me, never in my life did I ever dream to preach or pastor. But the Lord said, believe me, temple, you'll love it. I know you can't see it now. Here's another one. I never dreamed to be married. My mom never married. I couldn't think of a happy marriage in my family. Maybe you have a family that's different, but I couldn't think of any. What would make me want to be married to somebody? I wanted to shack. I'm sorry if that disappoints you. Because that way you can get out of there quick. I never imagined to marry anybody. When I was a Christian, people used to ask you, when you're getting married, my common answer was, how do you spell that? It's an M in there. That made me A. And that was my standard answer for years. Was it anti-marriage? No, I just didn't have any reference points. So who would think that I would be this marriage guy teaching marriage conferences? Who would think that? But God looks at me and says, Temple, if we can have a transparent moment, I can show you a promised land that's abundantly above all you can ask or think. I'm telling you, I've got a place you've only dreamed about. Matter of fact, you can't dream about it because it's way past anything you ever thought about. Way past. When God spoke to me and God began to challenge me and began to put things in my spirit and began to show me I can do amazing things in your life. Friends of mine told me this incredible story the other day to illustrate this point. He said they were having a camp, and they had this wonderful school down there in Shreveport, Louisiana. And they had the camp starting on Monday, and they didn't have any food for the kids. And they were praying, Lord, you know we out of money now. And so Friday, somebody called them. Friday or Saturday morning, God called him. Pastor Denny, I heard you need some food for your camp. So I got this tractor trailer that flipped over full of food on the highway, and we're going to throw all this food. Because you want to come get it? 2 years worth of food. What kind of food? Hot dogs and hamburgers and fries. Everything you need for a camp. I told them, we were sitting around. I said, Pastor Denny, let me tell you what God did. Angel, go over there and knock that truck over. Bam. Go over there. Flip it. Don't hurt anybody. Just flip it. Man. Come on, say, he can do. Come on. Do. Abundantly. Above all. You can ask or think. Come on, give God a praise. Come on, people. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's what I want in my life. I don't want the leftovers. I want God's best in my life. I want God to bring the people in my life, the word into my life. I want to hear the message from God. I want God's best. I want God to flip something for me. Are you with me, church? But it all starts with that honest conversation. It all starts with that honest moment when you let someone talk to you. Young people, listen to me. It is the trick of the devil. It is the biggest lie you've ever told, that you know it all. The smartest day of your life is when you sit down and have a transparent conversation with God. And he'll start talking to you. And when he does, if you listen, it will change your life. Did I help you today? Amen. Come on, did I help you today? I hope so. Let's all stand, shall we? Father, today in Jesus' name, I pray the Holy Spirit would bless and touch the lives of your people. I pray the hand of God be upon everybody in this room, everyone watching from home, everyone watching on demand, that you would touch them today. That the Holy Spirit would awaken in them the desire to be open before God. An honest relationship with the living God, where we tell the truth and we receive the truth. Say, tell the truth and receive the truth. Father, let us receive the truth. I ask you, Lord God, to let the Holy Spirit begin to heal hearts today. I ask you to let the Holy Spirit redirect our lives. In the name of Jesus. Can I be transparent with you? Would you look at me for a minute? I told God I wanted physically to really get on the stick, take it to the next level in my life. I think I'm on a really good rhythm right now. But I desire long-term health. And here's what came to me this week. If you mean it, you'll do it. If God can speak to me, you don't mean it because you don't do it. My wife and I both, we've really made a really strong commitment. I made a commitment about my finances, both for the church, for me personally. I'm telling you, folks, it starts with honoring God. It starts with making sure I honor him. It makes my goal, you know, it's amazing. Some of the places, there's two places I've been asked to come, and I'm going to go. They can't afford me to go. I'm going to go in Jesus' name. Because, see, this is where money makes a big difference. And you have the power to do good. Say amen if you're in. Come on, if you got the power to do good. 18,000 folks in Nigeria invited me to come. But I'm going in Jesus' name. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Come on, amen. I'm going. This year. Another group of several thousand in Brazil, same thing. And sometimes these are people that don't have the resources. But see, this is where you decide. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm not going to be afraid to go to the world. And I believe that I'm seeing some of you. How many of you have visions of going to the world? Raise your hand. You do? I'm sorry. Where you want to go? Huh? Say it loud for me, son. I can't hear you. What country did you say? Brazil. I like that. Good man. Where? Brazil. Where you want to go? Over here. Somebody over here. Where? Say it loud, please. Spain. Anybody over here? Where you want to go? Not for vacation and touch somebody's lives, please. Come on. Where you want to go touch somebody's life? Africa. Who's from Africa in here? Who's from Africa? You in the building right now.
Is there an African in here today in the service? They must come to 11 o'clock. Who's from out of the country? You're from another country in here today. Raise your hand. Where are you from? Aruba. Anybody else? From where? Where are you from? Belize. Wait, anybody else? Where? Let me see. Raise your hand. Be proud. Okay. Normally, it's a long. You see the flags? The service is normally full. We have a lot of people from different parts of the world. Lift your hand. I speak prophetically, Lord, that you will bless your people. I speak prophetically that we will raise our vision to go beyond a comfort zone, that you will stir hearts to be world-minded, that we're going to rise up and become a world-minded church. We're going to give and pray and worship with the world in our hearts. Our church will become more multicultural. And when I say multicultural, I'm really talking about us being open to Spanish ministry, us being open to other languages as they integrate within our community, us being open to going to other places, sending our kids to study programs overseas. I declare in Jesus' name, the spirit of fear that has robbed us from reaching the world will go away. Because Jesus said, we must go, we must train. It is our job to go out and make a difference in the world. And that is good living. That's what good living is about, is making a difference in the world. So I declare that over our people. And I believe that by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Now I want to say this. I'm going to make an ethnic statement. I'm going to be really strong when I say this. And I want you to listen to me. This is, I'm just all black for a minute. We black folk know you can be afraid to go. We have to change that. Our job, I believe one of our missions is to say, we know that's true, but we're going to change that in Jesus' name. We are going to change that in Jesus' name. I declare that everybody in here is going to get a passport in Jesus' name. Even if you can't go anywhere, you're going to get one. You're going to put it up on your table and say, I'm getting this passport and believing by faith I'm going somewhere. Even if you just got to go to Mexico to show it and come right back in, praise the Lord. I don't care where you go. But I declare by faith in Jesus' name, I want all my kids to have passports. And I take them with me. I want them to go. I want you to go and not be afraid. And I believe that God's going to bless us. Here's why. The Bible says God blesses your need, right? My God shall supply all of your need, right? According to his riches and glory. If you don't have any need, there's no reason to bless you. Bless you with $1 million to do what? You don't have $1 million need yet. Somebody said, I'm going to go get one right now. Praise God. That's right. Get you $1 million vision. Raise your passion up. And maybe what you'll find out is you need, in order to really, you're going to need to help $1 million worth of people. There's a need out there. So, Father, I declare it by faith that this is the beginning of a new season in our church life and that we will rise up and make a difference in the world. Touch people's hearts today as we leave in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. You glad you came? Come on, praise God. I'm done for today. Praise God. Come on, give him a big praise. Come on, give him a big.